Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. The show tapes live some weeks on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Check my Twitter feed, ANNZAC, for more. Enjoy the show. Everybody, welcome to Endcast. I'm Zach Barchi. Jacob's here.
Hey, everybody.
Man, it's a long week.
It's been a long week, yes.
Actual week. Like, today's Thursday. Mm-hmm. It's been a long week since last Thursday.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit here and bitch about Preview Guide.
No, it's actually it's not been that bad this week, this time around. Preview Guide was pretty, like, tolerable.
Yeah. I mean,
we didn't have seven shows a day.
Yeah, we've been busy otherwise. Like, you and I have had a lot of shit going on, so, like, it's been busy, but there is a ton of anime to talk about. I haven't had any time to do any writing. I've been doing all the other stuff that's involved with the Preview Guide, and then also, you know, my job is, like, answering emails lately. So, like, that's what I've been doing is manager stuff, and I haven't had time to do much writing. I wrote up a few, but I just went through the list and wrote down the ones that I saw, the ones I wanted to comment on, and I thought we would just go through it.
Yeah, just this winter is a little tumbleweedy. Tumbleweed.
Yeah, there ain't much. It's not a strong...
No.
This isn't a strong season.
I
am so fucking sick of the meta conversation about this season isn't actually as bad as any of the other ones, because if you look at spring, it was actually better than... So, like, it changes depending on how much stuff there was for you personally.
Yeah.
And whether or not you had a good concept of whether or not, like, there were a lot of hits that season or whatever. Like... There's no, like, rule. I'm sick of that meta conversation is what I'm saying. I just don't really want to have it anymore. It's a weak season. It's not a strong season.
Yeah, I talk about it in two terms. I talk about whether there was stuff that was interesting for me and whether there was interest.
Yeah.
Sometimes those answers are different. Sometimes they are the same. But, like, talking for interest this season, I can tell you definitively, you know, it's a little bit of a tumbleweeder, and the most anticipated thing is not legally streaming, so
yeah,
that's great.
Which is Little Witch Academia, which
is not
on Netflix
eventually
at some point.
Yeah, in 3 months probably.
We'll figure it out.
Right?
Who knows? We'll review it when it comes out. Thankfully, Amazon finally launched whatever their big anime scheme was today, so we got all their shows
and
hope. Yeah, and hopefully that means we'll get all their simulcasts rolling forward and all that shit. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Right.
But let's go through the season. Mm-hmm. I thought. Do you want to just throw out a show and we'll start? I got a list here. Unless you want me to run down.
Oh,
the list.
Oh yeah. Well, you go ahead, because I saw everything and you have not. So you need to, like.
Well, I want you to talk about the stuff that
I will. I just thought we should leave.
Didn't
the stuff
get
we've
to.
Both seen.
Sure. Okay. All right. In that case, let's talk about Masamune-kun.
Oh man.
Yeah. So this show. Why don't you describe it?
It's pretty basic. It's a guy who. Was rejected and made fun of for being a little fat boy and trying to confess his love to a little girl who shot him down and made fun of him. Basically gets into shape and so that he can embarrass her in high school. He's like, I'm going to turn the tables. I'm going to get as buff and handsome as possible and make her fall in love with me. And then I like say, I was this guy, haha, and then dump her and, like, you know, turn her down. And so that's his revenge plot. And obviously the twist is going to be, like, he really falls in love with her or whatever, and it's not, you know. But the weird thing about it is that it's really mean-spirited.
Is that weird?
Like,
that's a lot of anime now, you know?
Usually it's, like, one character's mean-spirited or they have, like, this is, like, every single character in the cast is, like, the most catty mean girl you've ever seen, except for his best friend, who just gets made fun of. It just gets mercilessly made fun of.
Yeah, it's like Kisniver or, what's that other one? The Lost Village. Everyone's just a huge asshole. Like, Mario Kata. Yeah, Mario Kata, like, mean-spirited, judgy, fucking hater shit. Like, it's like it's written by a hater. Like, that's...
Yeah.
There's no other real good way to describe it. Like,
sort of
just some judgy asshole who sits there and just fucking that person, this is wrong with them, that person, this is wrong with them. And they always like, and like it undercuts any success in order to, like, if you do anything good, mm-hmm. the character will figure out a way that that's actually bad and you're bad and right. they're better than you. Like, it's just fucking, I don't know, man. I don't want to hang out with people like that.
Well, yeah, and a lot of anime and stuff like that is mean-spirited in a way where...
Not a lot, but some.
Well, not, no, I mean the stuff that we're talking about yeah. is mean-spirited in a way that you understand what's being made fun of and why. Stuff like this and Kiznaiver are so cynical and mean-spirited that the stuff that they pick on and make fun of is like a question mark. It's yeah. like, why would you judge anybody
reach.
For that?
Yeah, it's a super reach. Like, so this dude lost like a bunch of weight.
Uh-huh.
He comes out and he checks himself out in the mirror.
Uh-huh.
And his sister is sitting right there and says, like, how vain. You shampooed your hair in the morning? How vain. Like, it reminds me, okay, the like turbo nerds in the crowd will get this, but there's a Warcraft 2, I think it's Warcraft 2. There's like a dwarf unit or like an orc unit that I think it's Warcraft 3 maybe. The dwarf, like, if you have a helmet, that's vanity. If you have a shield, it's cowardice. If you have a sword, it's, you know, it's whatever. And
that's awfully
it's anything you're doing. It's just domination personality. That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, and the thing that he gets on her that he's going to use as blackmail on the girl that he's trying to get revenge on is that she eats a lot of high calorie food. She's not overweight, and
she just eats a lot of shit.
She just eats a lot of junk food, and it doesn't affect her figure at all. She just has a high metabolism. It's like, that's not anything you can hold anybody over anybody. Oh no, you have a high metabolism, so you eat a lot of garbage. Like, what? Like, it's so weird. And yeah, it's
if someone in the really chat catty. Says someone in the chat says it's negging, yeah. but it's negging like without any intention of eventually like you're just trying to hurt the person. So right. it's like it's such a transparent, oh, you're just an asshole trying to hurt people. Mm. Your insults don't land. They don't make any sense. I think you're an asshole and have no idea what to think of your subject right. other than this person has this petty vindictive shithead after him.
Right.
And I probably shouldn't listen to this vindictive shithead.
But that's, like, the only thing that's interesting about the show, because everything else is just very rote, like, absolute minimum effort on the animation and direction side. It's just, like, rom-com for boys, except it's weirdly catty, like,
yeah.
bizarre.
And well, the other thing that didn't get me was, like, so, like, this kid lost a bunch of weight, and he's like, oh, and there's a joke at the beginning where, like, she offers him, like, some carby ass breakfast.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I can't eat that in the morning. High calories and all the carbohydrate. Motherfucker, that's when you're supposed to eat high. If you're dieting and you're fucking serious about it, you are eating high carbohydrates before 5 p.m.,
right.
if at all. But before 5 p.m., because everyone fucking. That's not like everyone's different. If you're burning most of your calories during the day, you eat the high calorie
right.
shit at
this
the beginning.
This was written by somebody who doesn't understand like how weight loss works because or how fitness works because it would
I don't
be one
know.
Thing.
Maybe they
one...
do, but that just doesn't
no,
make any fucking sense.
No, it would be one thing if they had written him as just thin, like he lost a lot of weight and he's a thin average high school build, but they like specify that he is like a bodybuilder by high school standards.
Yeah.
He's still a high school boy.
They show him.
He's
all cut up.
Yeah. he's all cut up. He's very muscly. So therefore, yeah, you're like, wait, then he would know that you do eat a lot of calories in the morning. If you're going to be that buff, it's not the same thing as just being thin.
No.
You know, like, anyway.
Yeah.
That's not accurate.
Anyway, so the other thing about that show is that, like, why would I care about anything that these two, like, who cares? Mm-hmm. So what, are they going to fall in love? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I don't care.
They're assholes.
Fuck.
They're assholes. He saves her from some guy who, like, some guy rightfully comes after her. Because she ruined his life, and he intercepts, and then like she's like stunned in silence or whatever, and he's like, you know, you'd be a lot prettier if you smiled or whatever, and it's like, I hate both of them. Like, why? What
are you supposed
That's
to be
supposed
sitting there?
To be moving?
Are you,
I don't
like. Are you supposed to be sitting there and going, oh,
oh, well, you know, ooh,
yeah,
the intrigue. No,
fuck that.
Two dumb assholes.
Speaking of fuck that, Tanya the Evil.
Oh, do we have to talk about that one?
Not really. It exists.
I don't.
I'd rather
like
not.
I feel like
I would rather not talk about it.
I specifically didn't write about it because I was like, everybody's already written about it, and the only things I have to say are gonna set a brush fire. So I'm not gonna say anything
like,
about this.
I don't. They hid the premise. It's about a bitter like asshole 30
spoilers.
Salary. It's not a spoiler. It's in the fucking premise.
I know.
I don't know why it's not in the first episode, or they're treating it like it's a secret.
Yeah.
But basically, a bitter, like bitter dickhead
salary
man gets put into the body of
Lolita,
fucking anime girl Nazi. All right. German Imperial.
Yes, not Nazis. This is World
German
War.
Imperialism.
Yeah. Oh, God. Just even saying.
There's at least a couple decades in between that and what I was talking about earlier.
One and a half decades.
A couple. There's time. Get it right, Jacob.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the imagery.
I'm not going to watch that show.
Yeah, no. The imagery is for a very specific audience that I do not belong to.
You know, it doesn't even fucking matter. Like, I'm not shocked by it. It doesn't bother me. Just like, it's fucking military otaku stuff. And the entire episode is, you're supposed to be going like, what a badass. Oh, she's so evil. And I'm not like, manipulated by that shit at all. It's just boring. It's fucking boring.
Apparently the original light novel is, like, they don't have a whole lot of plot to go on, so they're gonna, like, there's very little plot in the first episode, but apparently the light novel is just, like, long, detailed descriptions of weaponry and tactics.
Yo, there is a market for that. That's fine. Enjoy it, bruh. It's
so they're
not
gonna have to stretch it out, is what I'm saying. They're gonna have to stretch it out if what I'm hearing about, like, the content is true. It's like, oh, it's basically like an encyclopedia with, like, the little portions of, and then Tanya did a thing, you know, so.
Yeah.
God.
Whatever, man. Ooh. They're gonna make shows like that till the end of time. Fucking whatever.
Yeah, I'm not shocked by it, but I'm not exactly happy that it's around either. I'm like, this right now. Ugh.
I
don't want this.
Like something like it's not like Tanya the Evil is gonna be like suddenly the biggest fucking thing.
No.
It's gonna be in for like 3 weeks
around.
And everyone's gonna fucking forget about it.
I hope.
By
but
next
I mean,
season.
I just,
I'm gonna eat these words.
I don't,
eat them.
I just don't want any brush
You're gonna
fires.
Come back to this at the end of the year.
I don't wanna be putting out fires. I got things to do. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway. Let's talk about Fuka.
Fuka?
I don't know why.
We have to talk about Fuka?
There's nothing to say.
Do we have to talk about Fuka?
There's nothing to say, really.
No, well, I mean, it's a little unusual in that it's, like, not weird anime fetishes, over-the-top harem romance. It's, like, super vanilla shoujo for boys. That's not common. That doesn't come out a lot. But, like, yeah, the guy who wrote Suzuka, he's kind of, like, the leading voice in that kind of thing. Like, if you don't want weird romance, you just want to sort of want basic romance, you know.
Is Fuka's the, like, it's like the brother of another character from another show like that?
The Fuka is the daughter of the main characters from Suzuka, who got together, of course, at
from
the romance.
Suzuka.
They had a daughter, and she's the love interest in the new story. So there you go. If you remember Suzuka, which, who does? I don't, you know, somebody, maybe.
People familiar with Funimation's early catalog?
Yeah.
That's it.
So, yeah. But it's more of a manga thing. Like, that's the manga sold really, really well in the same sense that, like, Oh My Goddess sells for eternity and a half. Like, it's just one of those. Like, and Oh My Goddess is kind of like that, too. Only it's a little... That has supernatural elements. But otherwise, it appeals to sort of the same demographic.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's unusual. It's unusual that we're getting two of those because we got Seiren.
There's Seiren, which is the same thing. But that's, like, the different roots, right? So, like...
Well, that's not based on a visual novel. It was just written like one.
What?
Yeah, it's not based on a visual. It's the guy who writes a bunch of visual novels, like Amagami S.
Just wrote a show, but you don't have to click on anything.
Yeah, he just wrote a show with a couple different girls in it.
Okay,
basically, but it's the same. It's the same demographic, which is not served very often. But it puts me to sleep. But for guys who want vanilla romance, like, you got two shows this season, so there you go.
Yeah, those shows are kind of pedestrian. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're fine. They should exist. Uh-huh. You know, basic ass.
It's harmless. But, you know.
Male-targeted romance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Seiren looks nicer for what it's worth. Like, Seiren actually has, like, kind of, like, attractive, nice-looking character designs. Character art, Fuka does not. But, on the other hand, Fuka is going to be more melodramatic, as I understand it. It's going to have more, like, you know, melodramatic twists. While Seiren
probably
won't.
Someone going to get some kind of rare cancer or something?
Somebody get hit by a car or some shit.
Hit by a car, rare cancer.
Yeah, that kind of a thing.
Actually a werewolf.
Not actually a werewolf. Like, real-world melodrama, not like supernatural, you know what I mean? So
actually a werewolf murderer?
You're making it worse.
It's not getting better.
More melodramatic. No. Yeah, so it's just Saren will probably be super, super, you know, down to earth, and Fuka will be down to earth, except every once in a while a dramatic thing happens. So, anyway.
Speaking of werewolves, Interviews with Monster Girls was pretty good.
I liked it a lot.
I liked it.
I was like, this is chill. And Monster Girls is the gift that keeps on giving, because we got two Monster Girl shows this season, and they were both good. So, by my estimation. But one of them, Slice Life, like, if you like, you know, it's not really a comedy. It's just supposed to be, like, hanging out in a serene setting and evoking very specific emotions of time and place, then Interviews with Monster Girls is good. If you want silly comedy that's really well animated, Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid is really good. So I would recommend both of those.
Yeah, I didn't. I ran out of time today to watch Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. I meant to, but I didn't get to it. I watched, what did I watch instead? Scum's Wish. Mm-hmm. I watched that instead. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Right.
Well, but Monster Girls is, it's good. I don't, like, I'll watch it week to week. I hope it's got a little bit of a story.
I don't think it will.
It's okay if it doesn't.
Who knows?
Some sort of forward movement. It's okay. Like, a little bit. It's all I want.
The best thing about Dragon Maid is that it, and I think every Monster Girl show should have a little bit of, the Interviews with Monster Girls doesn't so much, but it's slice of life, so it's not supposed to have anything adverse like that, but I think every Monster Girl show, it should be a little bit gross. So, Dragon Maid, there's a great sequence where she's like, all right, what kind of maid things can you do? Can you clean? Can you cook? And she's like, oh yeah, I can clean. My dragon saliva is highly, like, it has, like, some high level of base or whatever, base versus acid. It's got some sort of high level of cleansing base where she can wash stains out of things, so she just, like, stuffs the laundry in her mouth and pulls it out. It's really disgusting, and it's like, that's adorable. And then also she's like, what about cooking? Can you cook? And so apparently dragons are like geckos and their tails just regenerate, so she cuts off her own tail and, like, roasts it and serves it as dinner. And she's like, I'm not eating that. And she says, but I work so hard to get all the poison cooked out. It's like, so they're like blowfish? Like, I don't know. It's just very silly. And the big thing that people are talking about, the dragon maid is in love with her host. She's like, I want to live here with you because I love you. And she's like, you mean like you want to eat me? Or you mean like buddies? And she's like, no, I mean sexually. Like, it's very explicit. Like, she's fallen hard for her human princess, as it were. Except the princess is a disgruntled office worker in her, like, late 20s. It's unique. I like it. It's funny. So
cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch it. Sounds like maybe now I don't need to.
I don't know what's going to happen in future episodes. Well, it's really well animated. Like, the dragon is, like, a big, heavy, lizardine-looking dragon that Kyoani, like, animated really well. And all the little slice of lifey stuff is animated well too, like all the fan service and just little character things. You know, it's Kyoani. It looks good.
Sure, yeah, it sounds good. Mm-hmm. I'll get to it probably tomorrow when I have some time. Tomorrow things start getting like a little bit easier for a little bit, but I don't know. We'll see. Up next on my list is Idol Incidents, which I had already forgotten I'd seen.
Yeah,
I was going through the list and I was like, oh right. Idol Incidents.
That show plays out as a thing nobody wanted to work on. Like, it is very...
This is one of, like, at least two, maybe three shows based on a mobile game that never came out or was canceled or was shuttered right before the show came out. Like, it's like they started this media project a couple of years ago. The thing they finished was this one thing. The center of it was supposed to be this game that everyone loved, and the anime is like, well, I love this game, so now I love this anime too. But so now you're just getting like...
The wheels are coming off on those mobile game adaptations. Yeah. Some of them never come out. Some of them do come out, but then get shuttered before their anime advertisement comes out. You know, that kind of thing. But this is one that just vaporwared. It just never came out.
Yeah.
And so we still have this show, which plays
a manga.
Yeah, it plays like a half-asleep advertisement for other media.
Yeah.
It's
bizarrely apolitical for a show that's about the Japanese government being replaced with idols. Yeah. It has nothing political to say at all.
That sounds like a funny premise, and let me tell you,
single joke that's funny. It's literally just like standard...
There's almost no jokes
like
at all.
Like basic... Here's what you see, like, in anime when there's an election. Mm-hmm. And now there's idols doing that stuff.
And this is going to be, like, the last time that anybody talks about this show, I'm sure. Like,
I don't think it's gonna make the poll.
Like, well, no, it's definitely
make the
not
streaming poll, make the poll, or yeah, no.
And I don't. Yeah, I think that like us talking about Idol Incidents is the most that this show is ever gonna be spoken of because it's like wow, it's just so phoned in.
Yeah.
And sad.
Yep. Let's see. Today, I got to Gabriel Dropout, which is cute.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
Is that one funnier than the other one, the Kobayashi Dragon Maid thing?
I thought Kobayashi's Dragon Maid was funnier because the jokes are more unique. The Gabriel Dropout is funny because they get the timing right. Like, the jokes aren't all that unique, but the timing is good.
Yeah.
Kobayashi's
Dragon
Maid.
I thought it made me laugh a few times.
Yeah, I mean, no, it
made
me laugh.
I think I watched more of it.
It made me laugh. I just didn't think... I'd just seen all those jokes in those kinds of comedies before.
Yeah.
Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, the jokes are weirder. They may not be, like, funnier, but they are like, well, I hadn't thought of that before. Like, you know, and the animation's a lot better. Yeah. So it kind of depends. I think it's better, but they're both totally fine. I mean, if you're just jonesing for a cute girl comedy, they're both viable options.
I mean, there's, like, more than one actually decent, cute, pretty well animated comedy.
Yeah,
about,
that's your bag. And Interviews with Monster Girls kind of counts because there's some jokes in there. It's just mostly like chill.
It's not like haha funny.
No, it's like y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all. Funny.
Like, if you nominated Interviews with Monster Girls for Golden Globe.
Well, The Martian is a comedy according to the Golden Globes, so.
It would be in comedy.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's
even
a,
though it's
that's
not funny.
Stretch. Yeah.
The Martian won. Didn't it win Best Comedy?
Did it? It was nominated.
Something like that?
It couldn't have won. That would be weird.
Fucking stupid.
What the fuck?
I don't even watch the Golden Globes anymore. I only watched them for like 35 years. I don't even watch it anymore. That's me. I'm superior. So that show was okay. The last two I got, the first one was Akka. Mm-hmm. Well,
it hasn't started yet, really.
Let me tell you, as a serious and sober-minded adult, I very much enjoyed the placid bureaucracy and intriguing, where could this story go?
Really? Because I was bored.
Nobody in the episode seemed interested in moving the story along, and I am an impatient man, and sometimes expect there to be story happening. Your dramatic angles are not enough to keep me interested.
It struck me
in
as,
your bureaucracy drama.
It struck me as I think the problem with it is it seemed like a very faithful adaptation of the manga. I haven't read the manga, but it seemed like panel for panel because of the way that it was broken up, the pacing. And a manga has a little bit different pacing and immediate needs.
Maybe would
than
have a,
anime.
Even, maybe a better idea what's happening in the story, or what even the story wants to be at the end of the first chapter.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even, like, okay, there's in sort of this kind of, it seems like kind of an authoritarian government that's got the trappings of fascism that has reached a peacetime place. Mm-hmm. They've somehow reached, like, a peacetime place. We will learn more about the nature of that society and that government through whatever's happening with this guy. It seems like the episode is supposed to take place in the hours before the story happens. Uh-huh. Like, that episode was supposed to take place, like, in the hours beforehand.
Right.
Fine. Uh-huh. I am happy to read whoever's reviews, whoever winds up reviewing it for the site, to find out what happens in that show.
Yeah.
I think about as slow as I can go on a political drama like that is, like, something like The West Wing or like House of Cards. At least there's a plot that moves, you know, just kind of slice of lifey bureaucracy. Yeah. Man, I like politics, but not.
Yeah, it's an
boring,
entire
man. It's fucking dull.
It is an entire episode where they have not really started telling you what's happening yet. They've just started. It's just world building. The whole thing is world building, and some hints at a character, but it's not even character development yet. It's just world building, and it's like, okay, I don't know what the plot is yet. And as far as I can tell, the plot is going to be like, this is secretly an Orwellian society, but you don't know that starting from where we're starting, and eventually it's going to be revealed that this is like a post-fascism Orwellian bureaucracy thing.
But, revealed? I mean, come on.
Well, in what way? We'll find out in what way.
Right.
Like, obviously it is, but we don't... It really seems genuinely 100% peaceful. You just are thinking this can't
well,
be the case.
Okay, so the only... The entire show takes place... If you had a society like that, mm-hmm. this entire show takes place specifically in the places where you would not see any...
Exactly.
Turmoil. You wouldn't see anything bad happening in the areas that they're in.
We're sitting in an... basically, the whole thing is set in an obsolete government agency that is sort of... It's in a weird catch-22. The joke is supposed to be that they're obsolete because there's a peacekeeping government agency and everything is at peace, but they always, like, they get dissolved and then not dissolved because if they were dissolved, maybe things wouldn't be at peace anymore. And so it's a guy who's basically risen as high as he can rise in this organization, and he's bored. And it's just his daily life. It's just him running audits and talking about his job for 20 minutes.
So,
and it's like, well, this could be interesting, but it's just not there yet.
Well, and in the episode, it's like they uncover a little bit of corruption in their midst, and then it's like, uh-oh, a coup d'etat. Okay, so is the story going to go forward from there, I guess? Like, I would imagine maybe the next episode will be a little stronger. It's just
waiting to see.
Wait and see.
I mean, like, the big thing about it is it's Natsume Ono's character designs, which if you've seen them, they don't look like anybody else's, and usually they can't be animated very well because...
It looks like I'm watching a Vogue ad. I like it, but it looks like I'm watching a Vogue ad, which is cool, but it looks like I'm watching a Vogue ad.
Right. I think it's really cool to see those designs animated well,
yeah.
because usually they're not, because it's difficult to animate her faces and hands and stuff like that,
yeah.
like her hands especially. And it's like, oh, it's nice to see this done really well. So mostly the art, the character animation is what you're watching for. Story-wise, I don't know what's happening yet. It's just a lot of adults talking about red tape for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, so last but not least, I got to Scum's Wish, which was highly anticipated, because I guess the manga's pretty well regarded.
Popular,
it's also,
I don't know if it's...
It's also really sexual.
Yes, it's also very seedy. That's the other thing. I was like, sex, everybody.
Salacious.
Salacious.
Yeah.
Lurid.
It's all right.
I liked it.
What'd you think?
I liked it a
Tell
lot.
Me about Scum's Wish. The Wish of Scum.
I dug it because it was a premise that absolutely could have gone wrong about 1,000 different ways. And it doesn't. In fact, it's specifically the premise, in case, for those who don't know, is two teenagers, a boy and a girl, are in love with their teachers. Like, they're in love with, one of them was, like, a private tutor. The guy is in love with his private tutor who became a teacher at his school, and the girl is in love with an old family friend that she's known since she was pretty young that became her homeroom teacher. And so they both sort of pick up on the fact that they are both in love with their teachers who are dating each other, and they're like, why don't we vicariously sort of act out that relationship by getting our kicks, getting off with each other, basically. So they're sort of pretending that the other is their teachers and getting off that way. And that could be really, really tasteless and bad. But the entire episode is focused on purely on the kind of emotions that would lead you into that situation and exploring them and sort of having deep empathy for them. It's not saying this is a good relationship or, oh, the pathos and drama. It's like... It's kind of treating it the situation as unimportant, almost, and just focusing on how the girl feels, where those emotions came from, why she hates herself as a result of this, how she feels about, like, using another person for sex. It's like, oh, this is all very thoughtful and empathetic. It's just trying to examine these feelings and saying, like, this is sad, but we're not, like, condemning these people. We're saying, it's okay that you felt this way. It's not okay that you made these decisions, but it's okay that you felt this way. And it's like, this could have been terrible, and they did a really, really good job with focusing on what needs to be focused on in that story for it to not be, like, seedy or judgy or just for shock value or something like that.
Yeah. It seemed fine to me. The direction kind of... It's all right. It seemed like they were just copying manga shots.
As I understand, it's very different from the manga.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
But then why did they make it look like they're just like it looked like a motion comic at the end?
I think maybe
I just didn't like those directorial choices.
I think yeah. Well, the inset panel frame thing that they did reminds you of a manga. I think. And that
well, they did that
maybe,
a lot.
Yeah. But
and it looked like a motion comic to me.
All the other choices I didn't think were manga like, but that one was definitely manga. Like, I'm not sure why they went with that, but...
like the Ang Lee Hulk.
The thing that, yeah, the thing that jumps out about it to me was the music use and the pacing on stuff. Like, there's a sex scene. They don't, like, go all the way, but it's basically a sex scene. And it could have been, like, erratic or, like, scary, but they went with neither. They went with sort of this placid, like, sad fear indicate, like, where it's, like, they're emphasizing that, like, both characters are turned on and they're into it, but they're aware that this makes them sad at the same time, and that it's also scary. And it was a lot of nuanced emotions that they communicated really well, when I think it just could have been like this, like, shocking, weird, you know, whatever, gross. Yeah, exactly. And nobody wants that. It's like, if you're gonna do this, you should probably, like, it should do something emotionally instead of just being another escándalo, because it's not that scandalous, you know, so it's sad, and it's, like, an unhealthy relationship, but it's not, like, at shock levels, so you can't really try for that. You should try for empathy. So that's what they did.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked that stuff. I don't know, the story didn't really totally grab me. Mm-hmm. I'll probably watch more of it, though. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see where that story goes, but I'm not, like...
I mean, I feel like...
I have casual interest.
I feel like it's obvious those two are going to start falling in love with each other, and then that's
like, the most expected possible place
right,
for that thing to go.
But
so,
where,
like,
does that go? Like,
I don't think the
do
manga,
that?
But the manga would not. I don't, unless the manga is just, like, spectacularly well written and it does that exact thing. I don't think it would be popular if it didn't have some kind of crazy twist or something unexpected later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. I figure they're going to fall in love with each other, because to me that would be, like, the most, okay, that's a
whole
new...
The chat says it's complex, so...
It's complex. That's a whole new emotion. Like, it's just... the show is focused entirely on emotions of shame and desire and stuff like that, then I'm down. Like, I totally want to watch more of that.
Cool.
Well, yeah, I'll probably watch more. I think I'm going to watch Monster Girls, maybe... Scum's Wish. And I will keep an eye on Akka and see how it...
You have to get the most out of that Anime Strike membership.
Yeah, so Amazon announced they're doing this thing, Anime Strike. It's $5 on top of your Amazon Prime subscription in order to get access to a channel that they're personally curating. So basically, like you go on Amazon and you can pay them, like, however much extra to get HBO or get Showtime or whatever. This is like that. So it's, in other words, it's taking, like, the cable TV a la carte idea and just paying $5 for each channel extra you want.
Yeah.
They're just trying to do that. I spoke with Amazon a little earlier today, actually interviewing them. I asked them a few questions. We're talking about those quotes right now. Hopefully they'll be incorporated into an article. It's a strategy. They're attempting to compete in that space. I don't know what to tell you. Like, look, the business reality is there will be competitors moving into this space. Some of them are going to be 800-pound gorillas like Amazon. Some of them aren't. It's a active business, so you're going to get competitors. You can't bitch about every competitor that comes along, you know, especially when it's, like, a company was already making moves into that space to begin with. However, this feels like, admittedly, it feels a little bit like maybe they're not paying that close attention to what the community wants,
I feel like perhaps not.
You know, how that community's evolved, like, you know, that's putting up a paywall in front of anticipated shows that I think the risk that they run is people just pirating the shows instead of paying them an extra $5 on top of an Amazon Prime subscription. Mm-hmm. For, like, if you only want to watch Scum's Wish, mm-hmm, are you going to give Amazon, what is it, that would be like $15 a month if you don't already have an Amazon Prime,
yeah,
just to watch that one show? What if you don't like Onihei? What if you don't care about Lyrical Nanoha? Like, their exclusives are a broad range,
yeah,
of people. But now if you want to see the entire season, you got to go to Anime Network, Funimation, Crunchyroll, and Daisuke has an exclusive, doesn't it? Don't they?
They have the same exclusive that Funimation has, which is Tales of Zestiria. So.
Okay, so... Right. Amazon.
That's four services.
Four.
Yeah.
And so, and if you get into a situation where like Viz picks up some exclusives and they're exclusively through Viz, then that's going to be that business, splintering that business up, fracturing up that audience. Like anyone getting into the business now, I think, we'll see how it goes. They just launched this thing. You know, their whole thing is like, we're launching the service. We're going to get video feed. We're going to get feedback from the customers and we will improve and blah, 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 blah. So I hope that, that service turns out to be worth something. Right now it seems like, okay, I see what you're doing. I probably would not have launched with that particular mix of titles and that particular library, because it's not a super strong library full of stuff you just can't get or wouldn't already have access to as a result of one of your other anime subscriptions. Mm-hmm. So you're really just paying for the exclusives.
Yeah. So we have to talk about the anime of the season.
What's up?
Handshakers.
Oh, fuck.
So when I turned on Handshakers, when I loaded up the video and stared and waited, because there's always like 5 to 10 seconds before the Crunchyroll like kicks in when you bring up a page. And the first 3 seconds, I started laughing my ass off and paused it and said, "Zach, come look at this! Come look at this!" And it was just that has never happened. And there's been no anime I've ever seen where in the first like 3 to 5 seconds, I'm like, what? No! Like, why would you do this? And it kept getting worse and worse, and I've never seen a show that looks that, like, deliberately awful, because it is purposefully ugly. Not purposefully they made it ugly, purposefully we think this looks cool, and it's just, your eyes are just begging for mercy. Like, people got motion sickness from that episode. Two of our reviewers, I think, mentioned getting like, oh, this gave me literal motion sickness.
Motion sick, really?
Yeah, Paul and I forgot who the other one was.
I have really bad motion sickness. I didn't get it, so that's kind of odd.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
It gets really spinny.
Yeah, I didn't get, I was watching in a little window, maybe that's...
Yeah, right. Well, maybe a big TV would be different, but like, oh my god, like, I can't believe that show is that ugly.
Yeah.
And I already described why in the preview, so I don't want to go over.
Yeah, like, yeah, but just read the, like, I feel like enough has been spilled about how bad Handshakers is.
I feel like there's, my reaction to it is, if you've ever seen that, gif of Aaron Paul on The Price is Right.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that they made this. It's so, nobody at any point in production says, maybe we could not spend all this money and time making something that like looks like a trapper, Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper exploded, like vomited everywhere. I think that was Nick's analogy, but it's so bad.
Someone said that what they tried to do is take the K aesthetic and just apply it to a show for dudes.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's the same team. I don't think it's the same.
No, Dios mío! Like
group of people.
The chains, though, it's not just one CG chain. They came up with 5 different designs for chains that don't look like they belong in the same show, and none of that CG looks like it belongs in the same CG as the backgrounds, which are also pre-rendered CG, or the traditionally animated character designs. And then there's 20 light sources with different colors in one shot. It's like a shot. You're looking at a screen cap. But screen caps don't do it justice. Like, GIFs reveal so much more. But screen cap alone, people are like, oh, the screen cap is hideous. You're looking at, like, things that it looks like 5 different shows put into one frame, and none of them are touching each other. Like, all these layers do not connect. No! I just can't. I'm going to keep watching it. Like, I'm going to keep watching this show because it made me laugh so hard I was going to pass out for 5 minutes. So, longer than 5 minutes, but during the first 5 minutes.
I mean, it seems like it's going to be a Chaos Dragon situation.
That doesn't mean I'm going to write about it.
When we started daily streaming, we're like, no. We're never doing Hate Watch. We're never
And then Chaos Dragon
that.
Happened, and people
And
wouldn't.
Then Chaos Dragon came along, and the audience was like, please review
hate
it.
Watch this, please.
And, you know, what are we going to do, say no?
Right. And,
I don't give a shit.
But I don't, I'm not writing, no, 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 no. They do an anime. Mm.
Handshakers, man. Handshakers. It was really fucking bad.
When did that come out?
Like Wednesday? Tuesday?
Was it? I forgot.
Whatever morning that was. I was so distracted by how bad Handshake, like Megan gives, and what the fuck, so bad, that I like missed getting some other work done that morning. It was,
yeah. I love
so that, fuck you, Handshakers.
I love that.
It's spinning, your fault I didn't get my shit done.
The spinning camera shot with the pre-rendered, this comes in an FX pack, explosions in the background.
Oh, the whole thing is Adobe After Effects.
Yeah, Adobe After Effects. While
fucking flame brush.
While the staff roll comes up in 2004 era karaoke fan sub font,
somewhere
in a square on the screen.
Here's
what
I want.
Happening.
Here's what I want. Hire Gohans to make a Mighty No. 9 anime that is inappropriately fan serviced up.
Clapping like a cymbal monkey over here. Oh my god. Oh, we didn't even talk about the boob physics, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
The boob physics are also really terrible. Handshakers, man. Holy shit.
Did they call that Handshakers like Gohans and like they're...
Probably.
Yeah. You think they would have stopped and been like, hang on.
Animate should ask for a refund. For those
like,
who don't
ask
know,
someone walking down, go outside and be like, you there, look at this anime we're making.
Does it make you want to throw up?
What are you guys doing in here?
And... Well, and
is this legal?
For those who don't know, like, so this is an original anime product. Like, they came up with an original story, but it was made. It was, this whole thing was funded by Animate to celebrate its 30th anniversary.
They must be so fucking mad.
They must be so mad. So, like, I assume Gohan's made them something that they thought they could sell a lot of merch of because it's funded by Animate and they're
well,
you know.
Someone said that the little girl character is popular among a certain audience.
I don't... How can they know? It's too fucking early.
If there's a popular girl in a shitty show, like...
Maybe, but, like, if they're trying to make this to sell character goods, I don't
think so. Like, those designs... No. Those designs are out of date, A. B, like...
Yeah,
what?
It's weird. It's all weird. But then again, like, you know, monoculture's dead,
no
and,
more.
Like, it feels like anime, like... Every season, it feels like we get a couple shows where we're like, this seems like it's from, like, 2006 or, like, 1998.
Yeah,
and,
but
like,
those
it's
don't
just
usually succeed. Like,
no, they don't, but you are seeing more of that shit.
Anyway. Oh, my God.
Anyway, we got Twitter questions. We should get to them, huh?
I was having flashbacks. Anyway.
Okay, let's take some Twitter questions. King of Anime. The King of Anime himself?
My liege.
Hang on just a second. I didn't know he was coming by. Jake, what would you like to see out of Rakugo Season 2?
I mean, I kind of want Kikuhiko to have a happy ending. I feel like he's gonna get one. The whole thing's been so sad, like, surely he's gonna get some redemption before he dies. Like, surely, right? But I, you know, we'll see what happens. I honestly don't know what's gonna happen, so I just am hoping maybe he gets, like, a little happiness before he goes, because he's gonna die at the end of this show. He's, like, 70-something.
I'm gonna watch Rakugo Shinju.
It is good.
Probably next week.
Very good.
Next week, I think I'm going to watch that show. Mary Cosmos asks, ooh, time to change that name. Tanya the Evil and Izetta from last season are both low-grade military wank fests. Well, your mileage may vary.
Yes, arguably.
Your mileage may vary. Has there ever been a good show for military otaku? I mean, okay, I don't really like military shows.
Mm-hmm.
When I read about wartime, I want to read about the political situation that led to it and the conditions on the ground during it and the political situation during and after the war. The actual troop movements and artillery is not interesting to me at all. That is a thing that is of serious interest to a tremendous number of people, and that's totally fine and valid.
Right.
But I'm not really into it. So, like, asking me about good military shows,
we've answered this question on our previous Ancast.
We did.
We basically said, oh, we don't know.
We don't know. I guess I went into a little bit more about it just now. But, like, people like Girls and Panzer. That's what I said last time.
Yeah, Girls
and
Panzer. And, like, I don't think this was very well liked, but as far as if you don't want weird politics in your engineering anime, Heavy Object doesn't have weird politics.
Chet brings up Zapang. That's a good example. I haven't seen that in a long time, but it was okay. Maria the Virgin Witch had super accurate military stuff in it.
Yeah, although that's from the Middle Ages, which is not usually... Like, there's no tanks or anything, you know?
No, but...
People with very inefficient weapons hitting each other in the head.
Yeah, like the military strategy stuff, like in movies set in the Middle Ages, can be kind of interesting because it's so different. But if it's just like Charlie Bravo 9, go to your Sector 7 and right, shoot. It's not interesting to me. We moved 40 troops across the Rhine, sir, and now they're. Oh, that's just like this battle in World. No, I'm just not.
Yeah, not our bag, so we don't really know.
Yeah. And yeah, all right. Grant the Thief asks, any particular releases you're looking forward to in 2017? I haven't seen the Red Turtle yet. That comes out this month. Yeah, I'm excited to see Your Name again.
In This Corner of the World hasn't come out.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. Because like half the people I know who saw both of those, Your Name and In This Corner of the World, they said In This Corner of the World is a really good anime movie. Or no, Your Name is a really good anime movie. In This Corner of the World is just a good movie, but like... I don't really like separating. Your Name was a good movie.
Yeah.
I'm comparing it to the Best Picture nominees for this year.
Right.
It stacks up favorably and is better than most of them.
Right.
It's a good movie. You don't have to keep ghettoizing your own fucking interests.
Right.
Okay? Every now and then it's okay to say, no, this is the one. This is one that deserves to be put along with all these others. Yeah, so I'm excited about that. I really want to see it. We have an interview with director and producer going up on the site soon. That's a good interview. It's by Andrew Osman. Look forward to that. Danger asks, is this the most barren season of anime in years?
No.
Not years. Number and quality. Number, yes. It is the most empty season in the last year. In a full year.
Last two, maybe.
Two, we had some maybe in 2015 that were closer to like 27, 28 shows. Mm-hmm. And since Amazon dumped in their shows, now it's about on par with those earlier seasons. But I don't think we're going to get another 45 show season. I don't know that that's going to happen again.
I am totally A-OK with it being 35 instead of 45 for the next couple. That would be fine with me.
Yeah. I think you're going to see that. That is something everyone, I think, should pay attention to in 2017. How many anime are there every season? Mm-hmm. Just keep an eye on it. Because if there's anything we could predict, it's that this year that number would go down. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, we'll see. Stefan asks, as far as you know, will we eventually get to see Little Witch Academia streaming reviews? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing that show.
It'll be at the end. Like, Netflix usually has like clockwork put it up. Like 1 week after the last episode airs, usually. So, unless they're dubbing it, which may change things, don't know. It'll probably go up just as soon as winter's over.
Right. So, Scott Hood wants to know, any guess why Netflix isn't interested in simulcasting any of the stuff they pick up? It's not their business model.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, they don't release their own shows. They release them all at once, so...
Binge.
I mean, in other countries, they do some. Like, I know that Netflix shows, like, Better Call Saul week by week in some other countries. That was, like, a deal they made with AMC. They don't normally do that kind of thing.
Yeah. And Netflix Japan, if I remember correctly, also does, like, some stuff, because they talk about streaming it weekly. Yeah.
But not in America. I want them to. I don't think it's that tough to remember to turn on Netflix every week, and most people do. So.
Right. Most people turn it on, like, every day, every other day.
I don't know how people always find something to watch on Netflix. I don't know.
You're too picky.
I am super...
Zach is a channel surfer. I'm just like, stay on something. And he's like, and I'm like, just pick... I don't
but
care.
But there might be something more interesting.
I don't care what it is. Just put it on, you know.
And don't stop on Empire Strikes Back again.
More like The Force Awakens at this point. The Force Awakens is almost...
Don't stop on Star Wars, Zach. That's Wars. What I hear.
Yeah.
I always stop on Star Wars. Or Lord of the Rings.
Star Wars again. Lord of the Rings I'm fine with.
Let's see here. Branko Berkson asks... Will video streaming anime in the West ever become relevant to the bottom line or renewals? Okay, I don't know who told you that anime streaming in the West is not currently very relevant to anime industry bottom lines, but it is. Please stop listening to people telling you that anime streaming revenue from the U.S. doesn't help the Japanese industry, and the Japanese industry wasn't relying on it, because they fucking are.
Yeah.
Okay? Holy shit, I am tired of that.
Yeah.
How many millions of dollars do you think are going to them from Crunchyroll, and you think it really doesn't have any impact at all?
Yeah.
Just, nope. Just producers just becoming millionaires. Come on,
I was
man.
Say, I mean,
I'm not. I'm by the way, Branko. I'm not getting on you. I'm just. I'm really tired of seeing this sentiment. It's completely separated from reality. The reason people float it is because it is in service of this attitude that spending any money on the Region 1 industry is somehow bad. It's some bullshit. It's just bullshit, man. Don't listen to it.
Yeah.
It absolutely is important to the bottom line. The reason that you will be seeing fewer anime shows this year is because there is less money being dumped into the Japanese industry by America.
Right.
That's the long and short of it. Anyway, yeah. To somebody in the chat brings it up, it's a piracy justification.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, guys, yeah, these companies rely heavily
on misinformation in service of an agenda.
Right.
That's what you're... Yeah. Let's see here. Is Crunchyroll and Funimation's biggest competition now Netflix and Amazon? I mean, no, it's too early to say anything like that. We don't... that making bold proclamations about, no, here's what the industry is like is not anything I really want to deal with. Oh. Let's see. Miles from Crunchyroll wants to know, what new show has it had a completely different fan reaction than you expected?
This season?
Yeah. Anything? Any standouts? Anything like, well, we kind of thought people wouldn't be into this, but they are.
What was it I was... Oh! Well, I was disappointed, and I think most people were disappointed by Akka, because a lot of people looked at the pedigree for that, and they're like, this will be interesting, and then it was like, well, it looks really nice, but there's nothing to, you know... It's like, oh, this is not going to be a wide audience thing. My personal reaction to it was, maybe this will be a wide audience show for this season, or wide, otaku-wide, not like... mainstream-wide, because that doesn't happen very often at all. But, like, I was like, oh, maybe this will be the bigger show of the season that'll get some eyeballs because we don't have Little Witch Academia, and it wasn't. And I was like, oh, that's disappointing. But, yeah, as far as fan reaction to things, I don't know. It's all been pretty by the book so far.
Yeah, no real surprises yet.
I guess people cottoned to Akiba's strip, but I don't
know.
Yeah,
they liked that, and I thought that would just be like, who gives a shit? But yeah. People actually thought it was funny and cool, so, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I watched it, and they...
That's one.
Yeah, I watched it, and they definitely, like, I'm not, like, crazy about it, but they definitely put effort into that show. Like, and it's they're trying to imitate Konosuba, which I think is smart. I'm like, oh, that is, like, I don't like Konosuba, but it is true. There's no other anime out there like it. It is unique. So I think somebody trying to ape Konosuba without totally ripping it off, just trying to pick up on some of the stylistic choices that made people like it, is smart. And so I think that's, Akiba Strip's got that going for it, so, yeah. Yeah. Some clever choices, I guess.
Cool, all right. Let's see. Here we go. Matt Von Gonten wants to know, you both seem pretty into the Monster Girl trend. Is there anything you haven't seen yet that you'd like to from that? I mean...
Monster Boys.
Thank you. Yeah, there's no Monster Boys.
Monster Boys. Weird, gross, silly Monster Boys. There's only one Monster Boy show, and it was the... There's a Mermaid in My Bathtub show. Which I loved, but it was only 4 minutes long, so 4 minutes episodes.
Why wouldn't you just make a reverse harem show where the star is the Bride of Frankenstein? Why wouldn't you just do that?
Well, no, the star has to be a human.
Why wouldn't I just write that? I should just make that.
You don't understand how it works. The star has to be a human, and there's a bunch of monsters that are hanging out with them. You have to have a self-insert human.
Okay. You live in a castle... Uh-huh. And all of the copyright skirting versions of all of the Universal monsters also live in that castle, uh-huh. And you date them,
right?
And the best one is Gilman from Creature from the Black Lagoon,
right? Yeah, there's a lot of applications for Monster Boys. I'm just like, where are the Monster Boys?
Yeah, it's just sitting there. It's just sitting
give it to
there
me. Put it in my face.
Right.
Yeah.
Why don't they ask me for show ideas? I'm saying yeah. They should. Patrick Jones asks, do we know when Amazon or Netflix are going to release the shows they license this season, and if not, how do we find out? So this was yesterday, and well, you found out. We don't know about Netflix, but now Amazon is at least releasing all their simulcasts. Let's see here. Ray Ray Style asks, gum to your head, which would you rather watch all of, Schoolgirl Strikers or Spirit Pact? Later he says gun. It was supposed to say gun.
Well, if I'm just getting...
But gum is actually a little more threatening. Because if you put a gun to my head, if that goes off, I'm just dead. If you get gum in my hair, I have to fucking deal with it. I was in the other scenario, I'm just dead. I don't have any problems anymore.
I was
going to
say, I will absolutely take gum in my hair over either of those two options. So that's my answer. Your typo cost you a true answer. No. Schoolgirl Strikers, because Spirit Pact is just dull. Like, it was the worst of those Chinese animation things that I've seen. Because the other Chinese animation things, like, they're going for sincere drama and horror, which is funny. If you have bad production values and execution, but you're going for drama or horror, it's funny. If you're going for comedy and romance, which is Spirit Pact, it's not funny. It's just painful. Mm. So I don't. It's supposed to be funny, haha. So no, like, it's just awful. So yeah, Schoolgirl Strikers. But I will take gum. Give me gum in my hair. Both of them are basically unwatchable.
All right. The worst thing I watched, I think, was obviously Handshakers, but...
Handshakers, I'm going to watch with no provocation.
Idol Incidents, that's what it's called. I forgot again that I saw it. Chris Adamson wants to know, is there an anime trend or genre you used to be really down on, but now think isn't so bad? I'm going to take the opportunity to say most of them. I used to be really kind of an asshole about trends in anime, like a lot of... critics are. Anytime there's like a trend where there's a lot of one thing, you just fucking attack it and bitch about it nonstop.
Like mobile game anime right
now. Yeah, and fuck those. I feel as though I have since learned that you need to be open minded, and it's not the genre that they're doing. It's not that it's cliche or that you've seen it before. It's how they execute, and you have to approach everything like that. You can't just shut out because it's a trend you don't like or whatever. If you're supposed to be appreciating this stuff as part of your job, the point is to keep your mind open.
Yeah.
And I try not to reject things based on popularity, based on trends, based on... Like, I get annoyed with Stuck in a Video Game shows. Mm-hmm. And people complain about that kind of stuff, but... going into everything like, Stuck in a Video Game. Like, okay, Stuck in a Video Game. Let's see what they do with it. And if there's nothing interesting about it, you can bitch about how, hey, there's 50 of these. Why didn't the people making this try to make it even kind of interesting?
That's good. It's good for a punchline. It's good for, like, oh, good, mobile game anime. Yeah. Like, it's fun to say that, and it's fun to kind of have a whipping boy just to keep yourself, you know, to have a sense of humor about it. But, like, but even then, like, you have Rage of Bahamut Genesis. That was a mobile game anime, and it was fucking great. So, you know, it just as long as you don't, like, shut yourself off from anything.
Or act like that's the only thing being made, mm-hmm. when it's not. Or making that, like, your cheat. Like, someone brings up anime, and you're like, ugh, so many, trapped in a game. Like, there's 40 fucking shows every season. Mm-hmm. There's probably one or two of those. Watch one of the 37 others. Like, I do have regrets about the way that I have a lot of regrets about the way I've talked about anime in the past, but, like, that is one I'll talk about right now, is that, like even Moe. I gave Moe such a hard fucking time, and I feel bad about it.
To be fair, Moe has evolved since then.
It used to be
2008 era Moe is a trial.
It's tough.
It's a trial. But now we have our trial now as mobile.
But I understand it now.
That's fine.
I get it now.
I understand it.
I'm sure it's cold comfort to a lot of people who have felt alienated by me in the past and have felt like I was attacking them. And to those people, I have to say, I owe you an apology. And I'm sorry that I made you feel that way. If I ever made you feel personally attacked, I apologize to you. I'm sorry. I try to be more open-minded now, but all I can do is do my best, right? So... anyway, lots of trends and genres and stuff that I used to think like, oh, and now I'm like, okay, what you got? Show me what you got. How about those Crunchyroll Anime Awards? Says Kaylin Evergreen.
Oh boy,
I thought they handled it just fine. Award shows are there to be argued about.
Yeah,
that's what it fucking exists for. Like, the winners win.
I feel like people are
the
upset.
Losers don't. Everyone fights over what's supposed to win.
People are upset because...
it generates a lot of traffic. The end. That's what they're there for.
People are upset because I think they feel like, oh, Crunchyroll is some sort of voice of authority on things. And it's like, I don't... people just have to kind of accept, like, all opinion is subjective. And there's not, like,
there's no right authority.
Yeah, there's no one right answer. And so getting upset... at an awards thing, when it is transparently a popularity contest, they're like, this is a popular vote thing.
Yeah.
It's entirely popular vote. And so getting upset about that. Yeah. Like, just, it's not, it doesn't mean anything. Literally, they didn't, like, give literal, like, accolades or money or, like, anything to these shows for winning. It was, it's just for fun, and it's just to look at the demographics, and they give you the percentages and stuff like that. So as long as you just accept, like, this is a popularity contest, and it's meant to, like, show you popularity of things and how people feel, and it represents fandom. It doesn't even represent, like, Crunchyroll specifically, so you can't really blame them for, like, oh, you're supposed to be an authority on this and you should give an answer that matches my opinion. Like, it reflects the fandom at large, like the numbers of people and how they feel about a thing. And if you want to take issue with people's opinions, you totally can, but, like, I don't understand taking it that seriously.
Yeah, that's the thing. Stop taking it so fucking seriously. Ah. It is definitely not meant to be taken that seriously. Here's the other thing. It's a popularity contest, okay? So if you're real, like, worked up about your show getting ignored in a popularity contest, take a look first, just soberly take a look at how popular that show actually is and whether or not it was reasonable for you to expect it to win in a popularity contest. Right. Look at things like how many people you see or hear talking about it, whether or not it sold okay in Japan. Like, look at those things, because some people are like, why didn't my thing win? And it's like, it's hundreds of thousands of people voting and 20 of them saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Anyway,
hey, just don't take it that seriously. Just have fun and, like, just look at it as a statistical thing, and, you know,
yeah,
chill.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I feel like that's just good advice in general. Mm-hmm. Award shows are just supposed to be fun. Mm-hmm. If you get angry that they're not imposing your will on everyone watching, you're doing it wrong. Sorry,
we don't want to say you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. You can do that on your own, like, alone, but if you put that on someone else, like, hey, about an award show, come on, dude. You're the guy melting down at Frisbee Golf. You're melting down over Monopoly. You're, like, flipping the table because you didn't win. Anyway. Tyler Dodson asks, any older series you guys might watch if this turns out to be a sparse season? So I'm probably going to watch at least two things this season. So I'll watch old stuff for Ancast and things like that. But, we are going to do a classic review this season. We have some space, so we're going to do a classic review. Not quite ready to say what that is yet, but, that's going to happen. I don't know. I think the next Ancast series discussion is, Ye Old Sound Euphonium. So I'm going to watch, Rakugo.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay. I'm worried. Anyway. I may watch fewer anime, but that's okay. I watch enough as it is. I've got plenty of other stuff to do and work on, so I'm not gonna, like, add more anime to my plate. Mm. I got enough. I'm good.
Yeah. Retro Anime Podcast asks, caught up on some Ancast recently, and you guys talked about reboots. Do you think the Gyver is it due for another reboot? Yeah.
How many versions are the Gyver?
Like half a dozen, but the last one was like a while ago. So, and it was just an anime, I think. So I could see him trying to bring it back.
Maybe they'll do a gender swap version. It'll be the girl-ver.
The female-ver.
The gal-ver. The gal-ver.
The gal-ver. I'm shocked that doesn't exist already. That should be on a Pioneer Laserdisc.
Gal-ver.
Yeah.
She's pink instead of blue.
I got
17
copies of Galver Volume 3. Man, no one wants fucking Galver. Yeah.
She has like her Galver armor is pink, and it has like boob socking and really intense butt cleavage.
What's on this VHS tape? Ah, oh, man, it's fucking Galver Volume 5. Here's another thing to get worked up about. Jace Clark asks, do you think Blood Blockade Battlefront should have been 26 episodes, not 12?
I think it should be a million episodes. Yeah. So it never ends. Like, that's what I think. Oh, that's what I'm excited to be, like, releases in 2017. I'm excited because they are making a second season called Blood Blockade Battlefront and Beyond, which just makes me unspeakably happy because it's such a stupid title.
That's great.
It sounds like Bed Bath and Beyond. Yay, Blood Blockade Battlefront and Beyond. Yeah, but I think it should be as many episodes as it wants to be
candles there.
Until I get tired.
That's a good name.
Yeah. because I love the show. But yeah, like, if you're saying, like, the first arc should have been longer, if it was, they would have just crammed in more stuff. They wouldn't have slowed the pacing, because Rie Matsumoto doesn't know how to slow down the goddamn pacing. So, I love her work. I'm just saying, like, no, she just would have packed in more stuff. They wouldn't have decompressed it, so.
I want to encapsulate this Crunchyroll Awards thing mm-hmm. briefly. Mm-hmm. Because I put out on Twitter that, like, hey, who is totally used to stuff for women getting marginalized and dismissed as though it's not real and not legitimate. And I got a blowback from that. Oh, you're saying because we don't like the winners, we're misogynists? Like, no, that's not at all what I'm saying. And that's not at all what we are saying right now. Mm-hmm. I think both sides are valid. It was a popular show. I really do think that. That was right. a super like, popular show that won a popularity contest. Yes. And you can argue about the merits of the show itself, mm-hmm. but you cannot deny the bedrock. This was a popularity contest.
Yeah, when people
and
if say you, it's if not you popular, approach, it's like, what? No.
If you approach it in that context, I feel like there's basically any kind of animosity or anger or like, why did this happen? Just melts away because it's just a popularity contest. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just wanted to put a little bow on it there so people understood where we were coming from.
Right. It's. I'm not like saying like it did or didn't deserve whatever, or like it's not okay to dislike it or whatever. We're not saying anything like that. But if you're denying that it's popular or trying to attribute it to like crazy fangirls or whatever, like no, this is a mainstream hit. It's okay if you don't like it, but let's not pretend that it's not just because it's aimed at women. Like,
yeah.
Because people do that, and it's shitty, and no.
Figure out a way to make it so that this is just an aberration. Exactly. It's not the market now, everyone. It's the fucking market now. Just don't get excited.
You gotta deal with it.
Don't start making a lot of stuff for women. Yeah. Anyway. Fucking pet subject. Anyway, that is it for Twitter questions. Chat, you got anything for us? We got time for a couple questions here before we get going. Fenwa asks, are there any shorts you would recommend this season? I haven't watched any. We have our shorts going up on the site. Today's Thursday. It'll be Friday. You should see the shorts in the preview guide, the roundup from all the critics. Mm-hmm. Jacob, do you have any, have you watched any?
The shorts?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the names of things because I've just been, like, blitzed a whole bunch of anime. But, no, I guess none of the shorts stood out to me this season. The one that, like, I guess I would recommend to people who, in case they didn't know that this was airing, is there is a Assassination Classroom-themed short, if you liked that show.
Hmm.
Which I liked it okay, but not enough to sit through this. It's just a gag anime version that has a bunch of RPG jokes, like the...
Oh,
the
that's premises. Like called, like, Kuro... Kuro-chan something or other, right?
Kuro-sensei's Quest. So it's basically the premise is the same, except...
RPG
now,
jokes.
Yeah, except now it's like you're all adventurers and you're being taught by the big bad. Like the end game boss, and so it's a bunch of RPG game jokes. If you like the show, then that's definitely the short to watch. But otherwise, there was nothing jumped out to me this season. So,
let's see. Marco Max asks, "What are your thoughts on Chinese co-pros and animation projects?" Well, you know, they're obviously a sort of low quality at this point, but we're seeing the first. Of those?
Right. I think someday there will be.
There'll be a good one someday.
Yeah, I keep saying, like, someday there will be a good one. But it's probably not going to be for a good long while.
Just give it time.
Yeah, it may need a couple years. Yeah. But maybe someday it'll be good.
Anonymous asks, who will be doing the classic reviews once they're picked? I'll give you a hint. Right now it looks like it's going to be Nick Creamer, so that should give you an idea what the show is going to be.
That should tell you what the show is going to be.
Maybe, hey. That poll had a
Pick
lot
the most
of shit
obvious
on it.
Answer.
That
yeah,
poll
but,
had
yeah.
a lot of shit on it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. William and Harry Schmatter asks. It's a good name. The Schmoy who lived. Will an A&N writer review The Great Passage now that it's available on Amazon? Yes. Isn't Gabo reviewing that?
Yeah, Gabriella Ekins is reviewing that because she was assigned to it for daily streaming, a day that never came, so she's watching it right now, I believe, and that review will be done, you know, soonish.
All right. Crystal Bowie wants to know, are there any Osamu Tezuka stories that you'd like to see get adapted into a show or a feature-length movie? I mean,
Yeah.
Like, I would love to see, like, a lot of Phoenix, which has only been animated in pieces. I would like to see the whole thing.
Well, it was unfinished, so...
Huh?
It was unfinished, so...
Yeah, no, but I want to see the whole thing. I would love to see Buddha. That would be really cool.
My favorite's always been Blackjack, so I'm just, you know... There's a lot of Blackjack
already.
The
boring stuff for old men.
There's a lot of Blackjack already. It's just my pet favorite, but I'm not good at asking, like, unanimated Tezuka. I'm not that familiar with his work, so...
Yeah. I'm not that big a Tezuka fan. His stuff is okay. We've been to the Tezuka Museum. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was plastic. It was like
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too, but it was kind of like a Disneyland exhibit, sort of. Let's see here. Do we have one more question? How do you... Chihaya for your season 3 when asks... I don't know when. Maybe? Someday?
I don't know.
How do you think the Love Live-esque sales numbers of Yuri on Ice will affect the market going forward? You will definitely see Yuri on Ice season 2.
Right. Probably a movie.
And a shitty live-action movie, more than likely. A shitty live-action version. They're going to be a shitty live-action TV show, I guarantee.
Well, I meant an animated movie, but yeah.
A movie would be cool. Like, just recapping it, or like a movie that moves
the story
forward?
There will at least be a recap movie, I think. Maybe there will be an original movie, we don't
know. A pishy adventure?
At those levels.
A JJ movie? A whole movie that's just JJ?
I don't think it'll be a whole movie that's just JJ.
That sounds like exactly something that they would do.
I don't
like
think
an entire...
So.
Oh, the Yuri on Ice movie! Oh, it's all about JJ.
I don't...
Yuri and Victor are in it at the very end, and they show up to, like, the restaurant that he opens.
JJ doesn't work in a vacuum, so he needs
Oh, they'll make it happen.
Yeah, I don't think so. They'll make it happen. They'll turn it around. Yes, they were born to make history.
See, one of the things that is kind of bad about this, and I don't know about bad, but, like, this and, like, One Punch Man, like, it's only 20-minute segments of a thing that caught the whole world's attention, and it's just this little itty-bitty thing, and that's all they have. And they have to stretch that and milk that 12 episodes for as long as they can until they can make more. They have to hope that by the time they make more, interest hasn't completely died. That's kind of what... That feels like that's the wall a lot of anime
We're getting more One Punch Man this year, right?
We are, and it's coming out fast enough to hopefully still be zeitgeisty and catch
Attack
it.
On Titan
if One Punch Man comes out... Like, One Punch Man was beloved enough, I think it could come out pretty much whenever and be embraced again. Maybe. But if One Punch Man were coming out, like, next year, would you say, like, oh, man, the industry's just gonna fucking explode when that comes out? Like, nah, not really.
No, I think they need to strike while the iron is hot on that one.
Like, but these short little seasons, like, I sort of wish that they were doing more 26, because it feels more substantial. You have more to go on. There's more to chew on. Like, it's just, I don't know. That seems like
we get 26.
It's a stronger bedrock.
We get 26 episodes of Nanbaka and Classicaloid, but
yeah,
those are inexpensive to make.
Yeah. I don't know. It just feels like... Does it make sense, though? Like, its ability to penetrate culturally is limited a little bit by how slight it is in terms of content.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. At the same
And they're
time,
not ready with anything else. They're not ready for merchandise or anything. Like,
yeah,
they're just
at
not
the same
ready.
Time, the manga is mostly... One Punch Man, like, it's a phenomenon globally.
I mean,
but
Yuri on Ice, but yeah.
What? Well, One Punch Man specifically, it's a phenomenon globally, but I feel like a lot of that is, like, people buying the manga now. Like, it's kind of left the anime behind a little bit. So I think so long as they keep up with it through that it'll be something. But, like, and in Japan, One Punch Man, like, it's beloved, and people read the comics like crazy, but the anime sales themselves weren't, like, fantastic or anything. They were good. They were real good. But it wasn't, like, Yuri on Ice. It wasn't, like, Love Live. It's mostly the manga. So...
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that actually just about wraps us up. Jacob, it was an emotional podcast on my part.
I thought you were going to blast off through the ceiling.
One of these days I will. Right through the roof. Then we'll lose the security deposit on this
place. It's raining right now. It would be terrible.
It is. That would be bad. I get wet.
Mm-hmm.
And also hit the ceiling with my head.
Well, and yeah, also cause property damage. Yeah.
All right. Okay, that wraps us up. Hey, huge, huge thanks to the chat for stopping by. We love it when you come by the live shows. We'll see you again next week. Thanks for stopping by.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's our show. Huge thanks to the chat for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating or review. We'd really appreciate it. And I'll see you all next week.